Fellow gardeners, almost anything grows here, something master plant breeder Luther Burbank noticed right off, which is why in the late 1800s he established his 18-acre Gold Ridge Experiment Farm in Sebastopol. Burbank's plant progeny include the Santa Rosa plum, so many plums and prunes, in fact, even the first plum caught, plus the Shasta daisy and the Burbank russet potato. Altogether, more than 800 varieties of flowers, veggies, fruits, and nuts. In a time of cheap and loud celebrity, it seems incredible that a mild-mannered, untutored plant guy could become an international superstar and friend of other famed trailblazers, from Henry Ford and Thomas Edison to Yogananda. Stop by for the self-guided story, or pre-arrange a docent-led tour, which includes his cottage here, now a small museum. As notable as Luther Burbank's plants, another source of local pride is the town's amused and amusing urban folk art. The official art walk tours you through an entire neighborhood of distinctive front yard junk art created by Patrick Umio, Bridget Laurent, and their Big Times Art Studio. Florence Avenue, where the artists happen to live, is ablaze with colorful junk tucked in with the roses and trees. Half the fun in this pop rivet wonderland is noticing how it's done. One character boasts a repurposed flashlight for a nose, another a double coat hook or bed frame casters. Engaging eccentrics rise up from nearly every yard up and down the street, including the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz, riding her Hoover vacuum to go get Dorothy.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
And sympathetic but comical superheroes. Here, Superman's sidekick is an actual Robin, tiny supersuit and all. Among the birds, the crowbar usually gets the biggest laugh. Squiffed corvids in fine feather, beak to bar, or bar stool. And believable if you've ever seen robins tumble stupidly out of pyracantha, pie-eyed from overripe berries. Still waiting for your prince? Florence Avenue's Frog Prince steps right out of the fairy tale, complete with a crown made from a turban-style roof vent and emergency flasher eyes. He offers royal bling, too, a sapphire ring big as a baseball. Tempted? As Chet Atkins and Ray Stevens say,
if you've never been a frog, listen, then you don't know what you've been missing yet. There's a world of opportunity under each and every log.
Everyone loves the cycling, surfing, and tractor-driving dogs. The happy hog, manning the Three Little Pigs construction truck. Godzilla carrying off a distraught driver. All the baseball players, including the Babe. Even hockey stars. Timely social commentary, too. What with Ukraine delivering a literal body blow to Russia. Until next time, this is Kim Weir for Up the Road.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, technological. I'm Maggie Scarpa, and Jared Geiser and I are subbing for Susan and Stephen Chudy on Ecotopia while they are away traveling. Tonight on Ecotopia, we will be discussing sustainable transportation. And this is KZFR 90.1, Chico listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
All right, and we're going to start us off with a song written by one of my favorite local musicians, Jim Brobeck, and the song is called It's Broken.
It's it's broken. It doesn't work anymore. Sometime it made me question, was it working before? It's broken. It's clear to the eye, we gotta make big changes if we're gonna survive. We gotta do more, more or less. Are on fire, it's burning up houses and I'm burning up cars. I'm choking outside, I can't breathe. These California fire are bringing me to my knees. We gotta heal a lot of people. We got a lot of people to heal. While it's raining like a devil on the opposite side, quit stalling before it's too late. We can turn it around if we use our brains. We feed a lot of people. We got a lot of people to feed. Glaciers melting, Earth's air conditioner shot. Coastal kingdoms of soup be socked. Farming city on the Delta Plains, there'll likely be reefs and bays. We gotta move a lot of people, and when you move them, you got a lot of people to roof. You gotta feed a lot of people, feed them. It's broken, it doesn't work anymore. Sometime it made me question, was it working before? It's broken, it's clear to the eye, we gotta make big changes if we're gonna survive.
Wow, what a great song that was. So as Maggie mentioned, tonight we'll be talking on Ecotopia about sustainable transportation. And so in order to meet our climate goals that we have and tangibly reduce pollution to our air and water, we really need to break free from automobile dependency. And so this is going to entail substantial improvements to public transit, as well as enhancing the walkability and bikeability so that we can get cars off the road. And so the city of Chico at this moment is updating their active transportation plan to improve resident quality of life through providing a safe and connected pedestrian and bicycle network in Chico. So I encourage everyone listening to go to chicoatp.com to complete the survey they have on there, as well as add in your specific feedback to improve pedestrian and cyclist safety and efficiency with their interactive map on that website. And so they're accepting the public input until September 9th. So there's only 3 days left to give input. And again, that website to give your input on the City of Chico's active transportation plan is chicoatp.com. All right, and Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Neil Yelland, a financial advisor with Edward Jones in Chico. No matter where you are in life's journey, Neil can offer guidance and strategies for wealth and retirement income, college savings accounts, estate and legacy plans, charitable giving, and more. For a consultation or more information, Neil can be reached at 530-345-8913 on the corner of 3rd Avenue and the Esplanade. Neil Yelland, Edward Jones member, SIPC. And Ecotopia is also made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the 2022-23 North State Symphony season. The opening concert brings Latin fireworks with Mariachi Meets the Symphony on September 22nd and 23rd at Laxon Auditorium. Three-time Grammy Award winner Jamie Koi-R Queller and his mariachi band joins the North State Symphony in a program that explores the exciting world of mariachi, as well as Latin American composers. Information and tickets, visit northstatesymphony.org.
And as a disclaimer, the opinions expressed on Ecotopia do not necessarily express the views of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, and programmers. To provide our listeners with some background on sustainable transportation opportunities, we will be interviewing Dr. LaDonna Knigge, professor and chair of the Geography and Planning Department at Chico State, and Bryce Goldstein, transportation planner, City of Chico Planning Commissioner, Butte Environmental Council Board of Directors member, and an advocate with the Chico Safe Streets Coalition.
All right, and before we get LaDonna on the phone for to start us off with this interview, we're going to play a song by Pete Seeger called We Shall Overcome. One of my favorites.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, we'll be right back.
right, and that was We Shall Overcome by Pete Seeger. And all right, so this is Ecotopia on KZFR, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, technological. Our first guest tonight is Dr. LaDonna Kanigi, a professor and the chair of the Department of Geography and Planning at Chico State. She has been at Chico State for 16 years. She has a PhD in geography and was an IGERT research fellow with a certificate in GIS science from University of Buffalo. Her dissertation research on vacant lot community gardens in Buffalo, New York, examined issues of vacancy, public space, public participation, and community gardens as civic spaces. She has an undergraduate degree in geography and sociology from the University of Wyoming in 1999. She previously worked for the Bureau of Land Management on a land survey crew and as a land title examiner in her home state of Wyoming. Her current research interests are on co-housing and livable, walkable communities. She teaches courses in sustainable community and transportation planning and urban geography at Chico State, where she likes to engage her students in real-world service learning projects, some of which we will talk about today. Welcome to the show, Dr. LaDonna Kanigi.
Thank you, Jared. It's great that you and Maggie are doing this show. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we're really excited to be subbing for Susan and Stephen Trudy while they're away traveling.
So, Dr. LaDonna Kanigi, tell us a little bit about your background entailing sustainable transportation planning.
That's a good question, Maggie. I've been teaching sustainable transportation in the Department of Geography and Planning since 2015. Before that, I taught a class. After I came to Chico State, I created a class called Planning for Sustainable Communities. And in 2015, several of our students rallied and petitioned the department to create a transportation planning course, which was fantastic. And so I started teaching transportation planning in 2015. Before that time, I'd worked on a study at the Chico Certified Farmers Market with my students. In 2015, when I first offered that class, there was a young male pedestrian who was a member of a fraternity, was killed by a car late at night at 7th and Chestnut in the South Campus neighborhood. And then within a few months, Christina Chesterman was also killed on her bike at Walnut in Big Chico Creek late at night on her way home from the library. And so this first year that we offered the course, we did a walking street audit of the South Campus neighborhood that became part of the South Campus Neighborhood Project. And we had a large group of people who participated in the study. We had about 70 fraternity members who participated in the walking street audit, along with Ann Schwab, the mayor of the city, and other students and other people in the city that were interested in bike safety. I can talk a little bit about the South Campus Neighborhood Project if you want to hear a little bit about it.
Yeah, maybe we could circle back to that at the end there's time, but I think it'd be good to keep going through our questions for now.
Okay, sure.
Well, LaDonna, that's definitely a vast array of knowledge and experience around the topic. And one item in particular that I know you have some knowledge of is complete streets. Per the California Complete Streets Act of 2008, all cities and counties are required as part of any substantial revision to their circulation element of their general plan to include the idea of and to include complete streets, as well as now Caltrans requires complete streets components of transportation projects they fund. So what are complete streets in line with transportation and transportation planning?
So, as you mentioned, California adopted the Complete Streets Act in 2008, and that required the consideration of complete streets in all transportation projects that are funded by Caltrans that have a substantial revision of the and to circulation elements to general plans. So, the creation of a multimodal transportation network is really a top priority for the city, according to the circulation element in the 2030 general plan. And the plan states that one of the most effective ways to achieve that goal is to require streets, where appropriate, to be designed as complete streets. So consideration of complete streets is a California general plan is required then by California state law. So what are complete streets? So complete streets then are roadways that are designed and operated to enable all users safe and convenient travel through all modes of transportation. So when we speak of all users, we mean all residents, regardless of their abilities or their mode of travel. So we are providing the opportunity to use the city's circulation network So roadways that are developed using the principles of complete streets can accommodate vehicles, transit, bicycles, pedestrians, including those pushing like a baby stroller or people using a wheelchair. And this is using designs that might include things like travel lanes, sidewalks or paths, on or off street bike facilities, vehicle parking, travel lanes, and transit facilities. But one thing to remember is that these street treatments are not mandated. They just have to be considered. And the concept doesn't dictate a specific street design or mandate that all streets accommodate all modes of transportation in the same manner. So it's something that must be considered, though. One thing that's really key to complete streets is connectivity. So the connectivity between neighborhoods, between places of employment, between downtown and schools and shopping are really key. I always say that a transportation network is only as good as its weakest link. And when we find breaks in our network, such as sidewalks at end and a dead end or disappear, or bike paths that dump bikes out onto a busy street with no bike facilities, we have a problem with the network and then with the connectivity. And so that's one thing that's really key to complete streets is that a complete network.
That's great, and I really hope that this active transportation plan update that the city of Chico is going through will help actually make some more streets complete. When you were mentioning having a bikeway come out onto a busy street, I think back to when I was looking at that interactive map on the ChicoATP.com mm-hmm. website. Someone was saying, I ride through this orchard in between 8th Avenue and 6th Avenue, and as soon as I get to 8th Avenue, it's just a busy street with cars barreling down 45, 50 miles an hour sometimes, and there's no crosswalk, there's no bike lane. And it's just people, mm-hmm. it's just not complete. The bike path there, it's there through the orchard, but it's not complete with the rest of the network.
I completely agree. As you look at the active transportation plan, those are the places you might want to draw attention to with your comments on the interactive map. Those places with breaks in the network or that end in an unsafe location or where you don't feel safe.
Yeah, that's what we need to address. And so speaking of other ways to engage in improving bikeability and safety for people that aren't driving cars in our streets, I know you've had some experience with tactical urbanism. So would you mind explaining this concept of tactical urbanism?
Sure. So tactical urbanism is a term that's used to describe typically small-scale, incremental, temporary improvements that are usually to the bike or pedestrian streetscape. They may either be sanctioned or not, so they may be in compliance with the city and in accordance with the local government or not. It might come from a group of residents. They typically come from local advocacy of residents. Because they're temporary, they're low cost, and then they provide an opportunity to try out an idea, a street crossing, a parklet, a buffered bike lane, street art, try out something and see how it works. And this allows users a chance to try it out and provide feedback on what is hopefully going to turn into a permanent street design change. This approach allows really a whole host of local actors to test a new concept before making substantial political and financial commitments. As I mentioned before, they're sometimes sanctioned, they're sometimes not. And they're sometimes referred to as guerrilla urbanism or pop-up urbanism or city repair or DIY urbanism.
Nice.
And while, you know, improving the livability of our towns and cities, it commonly starts at that street and block or building scale. Even though we have large-scale efforts, incremental, small-scale improvements are increasingly seen as a way to stage a more substantial investment.
Mm-hmm. I say, yeah, it's great. Yeah, I love the idea of taking direct action against unsafe streets through this guerrilla or tactical urbanism. So would you be willing to describe some local examples of tactical urbanism in Chico?
I would love to. I've had several projects that I've done as service learning projects with my students. I think you and Molly were involved in one of them.
Yeah.
In November 2017, Geography 436 Sustainable Transportation Planning class did Chico's, as far as I know, Chico's first tactical urbanism project. And it was in the one block section of Ivy Street, just south of campus between 2nd and 3rd Street. While Chico had recently installed this really nice buffered bike lane on Ivy Street from 9th Street to 3rd Street, once you get to 3rd Street, you may notice this now that I've mentioned it, not only does the buffered bike lane disappear, there's no bike lane in that one block mm-hmm. right before you get to campus, if it joins campus. So a buffered bike lane, and it's a bike lane that's painted onto the pavement with a 2 or 3 foot buffer, usually painted with like a crosshatch on it, to give additional space or a buffer between the automobile traffic and bicyclists. So for this project, which was sanctioned, and it was a collaboration between the Department of Engineering and Public Works and Facilities Management Service at Chico State and Risk Management and Chico Velo and some other partners, we used, in that buffered bike lane, we used potted trees that were placed in the buffered area to emphasize that separation between the car and bikes that were provided by Little Red Hen for the day. So mm-hmm. it was a one-day event. The students were there all day. We set it up. They were there all day and had a station that had a way for the users to provide feedback of, you know, what they thought about it. And then we had a bunch of bike safety materials. So that was the first one that we did. The next spring, my urban geography class was actually invited to help the city with what they called a pop-up street demonstration. And that was organized, I believe it's when Janine Rood, who was working on the city bike plan for the city of Chico. And so this was a larger scale project and for a longer period of time. So it wasn't one block in one day. It was to make temporary bike lanes on the one-way streets on 3rd and 4th Street from downtown to Bidwell Park. So, and I would love to see this street that's on the ground. I like to call this project the gateway to Bidwell Park. Temporary bike lanes were created, one going to the west past the farmer's market on 3rd Street and one heading east towards Bidwell Park entrance on 4th Street. And this was left in place for several weeks. I would love to see both of these projects implemented on the ground. The third project that I worked on was a bike lane through Chico State Campus on the north side of Big Chico Creek. And this was just in fall of 2019. This involved a very simple bike lane that was painted on the paths next to the creek on campus with some signage. And this was done by Facilities Management Services and Mike Guzzi and Cherie Chastain, who was the sustainability manager at the time. So my fall 2019 class was involved in this project, and they did things like counts of pedestrians and bike users, and they created and implemented a survey about the project. And so they put up signs along the path with UPC codes where users could access the survey with their phone and fill it out. We divided that route into segments so we knew which segment the user was on when they accessed the survey. Plus, the survey was sent out then to the campus in campus announcements to get general feedback. We also knew which ones were those also, so that was kind of an interesting bit of information. So we asked questions about people's sense of safety using the path, how they got to campus that day, so their mode of transportation, which is a really interesting map. Yeah. And we asked for suggestions for design improvements. So as I said, that path was really simple, and there were lots of complaints about how it was designed, how it should be designed, you know, and that was fantastic. So people got to use the path and then to comment on it and then be heard. So it was kind of the best, you know, what it wasn't an ideal path. It was very simple.
It works great, though.
The best thing about the project was that the following summer, during the pandemic, the path was built. So Mike Guzzi and Cherie Chastain obtained a grant to put in the path. And so our work helped in a couple of ways in that the path was ultimately put on the other side of the larger path away from the creek, so that eliminated bike and pedestrian conflicts. People came across the bridge over the creek, which sometimes the visibility can get poor because of overgrown vegetation. So without having that little trial run, you know, you don't really know these little things. And then we also noted the condition of the pavement at the end of the path had deteriorated to the point that it couldn't be repaved. So the cost was substantially more to actually repave those sections. But sure. I have to say, it's so satisfying to see and to use that bike path and to know we made a difference. But I just want to add one thing. It also drew my attention to the fact that none of the projects that I've done in collaboration with the city have been implemented. Even all the work that was done with multiple students on the South Campus Neighborhood Project Improvement Study, we don't see any improvements on the ground at this point. And I understand we had the campfire, we had a pandemic, but I'm still hoping to see some of these things on the ground.
Yeah, I really hope we'll see them in this active transportation plan coming out. I know I included some of these tactical urbanism projects in my comments that I submitted on this plan. And I think getting them on the books in this plan and maybe continued advocacy from the community is really going to be essential for getting these things implemented. And so we talked about complete streets and tactical urbanism. And from my perspective, these things kind of relate. It seems like tactical urbanism might be one approach to actually getting complete streets in our communities. And so I want to ask you, how do complete streets relate to sustainability, and why are they so important?
Well, I think that we have to, the complete streets are one way that we're going to be able to use more methods of transportation. So we're going to facilitate people to be walking and biking and using alternate forms of transportation. So it's that good connectivity and that array of options for travel promotes sustainable transportation modes, and like biking and walking, boarding, and scooters, and public transit. It can reduce traffic and thus, of course, greenhouse gas emissions. Mm-hmm. They reduce idling time. They reduce the need for so much parking, for people driving around looking for parking. And then they have a side benefit of improving public health. And, you know, walkable, bikeable neighborhoods have been shown to be more desirable for shoppers and for others, and to even increase property values. So the less dependent we are upon the automobile, and the more options we have to get from one place to another, the more resilient we really are as a community.
Definitely. And so with this topic, sustainable transportation, as well as the engagement and input period for Chico's active transportation plan, what input would you or have you provided, or would you provide for Chico's updated active transportation plan in your experience?
So what I think we really have to look at is the completeness of the bicycle and the pedestrian network. Like, where are the breaks in the paths? Where are the weakest links? Where are the places that we feel unsafe as bicyclists and as pedestrians? And I don't think that every street needs to be a complete street. But after all the work in the South Campus neighborhood, I feel like Chestnut Street would be a perfect street for, like, a redo for bikes and pedestrians. Chestnut Street, you know, why that street? It's like a gateway to campus. It ends, it starts at 9th. If you start at 9th Street and go all the way up, it ends at the Wildcat Sculpture on 2nd Street in front of the BMU. Mm-hmm. And once you cross 8th and 9th Street to the south, Chestnut Street has a bridge across Little Chico Creek, so it could bring pedestrians and bicyclists from that part of town to campus in a safe, bikeable, walkable, pleasant path. So I think that would be a great improvement. I would also suggest bike lanes be placed next to the sidewalks along this street so that the sidewalks and the bike lanes are together, and then the parking be floating so it's next to the cars. So you actually have buffered bike lanes that are buffered by the cars, parked cars.
Sure, yeah.
Very safe form of buffered bike lane, and it would narrow down the automobile lane, and that really inspires drivers to drive slower. I also think the bike and pedestrian paths along Walnut and Nord need to take into account bikes and pedestrians to a greater extent, because there's so much of that traffic there. There should be buffered bike lanes since the traffic is so fast there. I've seen two bicyclists hit on Nord Street, and that's also where mm-hmm. Christina Chesterman was killed. We've seen the construction of a lot of high-density apartments recently along Nord and Walnut, and the University Village is across Nord.
Yeah, certainly. Those are all great things to put into these public comments in the active transportation plan. We are out of time. It flew by really quickly. LaDonna, thank you. Dr. LaDonna Kennedy, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We really appreciate having you on tonight.
Thank you so much. I suggest everybody go to the active transportation plan and note those places where you see those problems.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Jared.
Please
thanks,
do.
Peggy.
Thanks, yep. LaDonna. And if you didn't hear, she mentioned to go to the ChicoActiveTransportationPlan.com website again.
Yep. And so after a short break, we will hear from Bryce Goldstein as we continue our discussion on sustainable transportation. I'm about to put on a song that Bryce Goldstein actually wrote and performed at the Chico Bike Music Festival. It is called The Multimodal Song. I hope you enjoy it.
October Coalition. Thanks for attending the Chico Bike Music Festival.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, technological. Our next guest is Bryce Goldstein, who wrote and sang that lovely song we just heard. Bryce Goldstein is a transportation planner, City of Chico Planning Commissioner, Butte Environmental Council Board of Directors member, and an advocate with Chico Safe Streets Coalition. Bryce spent her youth in Reading before attending Humboldt State University to study environmental science with a focus on energy and climate. She moved to Chico to assist the City of Chico in implementing its Climate Action Plan goals as an AmeriCorps Civic Spark Fellow, and since then has worked for the Butte Environmental Council, a transportation planning consulting firm, and now Caltrans. At Caltrans, Bryce plans for efficient and connected inner-city rail and bus throughout California, and she has worked on active transportation and complete streets efforts. She's passionate about reshaping the way we live using sustainable planning, education, and activism to combat and prepare for the changing climate as well as create a more equitable society. And welcome to Ecotopia, Bryce.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So, to jump in, tell us about your background entailing transportation planning and safety and why you got involved.
Okay, so studying climate change made me realize that I really wanted to work on making our society better and, like, doing so in a proactive way, and transportation was pretty much the best way to do that, especially because transportation accounts for 40% of our greenhouse gas emissions in California. Also, I've lived in rural Northern California most of my life, and you kind of can't get anywhere from here unless you have a car, which limits you as a youth or as a person who doesn't have a lot of money, or if your car breaks down, as my cars like to do. So I got into transportation at first because of those reasons, and in the past 6 years or so that I've lived in Chico, I've gotten more into biking, and that's really given me a perspective on safety in transportation, because as you might have heard in that song that I wrote, it's really hard to bike certain places without the F-250s pushing you off the street, and we need to change that, whether it's having some of the better infrastructure that I think LaDonna was discussing, and or changing cars themselves, or just making our streets safer, all of that. Anyway, we'll get into that.
Sure. Well, let's get right into it. Well, if you have more to say on it, Bryce, I'd like you to describe some opportunities that you see for walkability, for enhancing walkability and bikeability in Chico.
Sure, yeah. So we're located at 4th and Broadway Street right here. And I just locked up my bike, and I was like, dang, I have to lock my bike to this tree cage thing, and somebody could easily come out here and steal it. So that's just one tiny little aspect, is getting here, feeling like there's not a great safe space to lock my bike. And then when I get home, I'm going to bike down Broadway Street amongst all these vehicles on this 3-lane street. So I'm in the center of Chico right now. Like, I should be able to go some places on my bike and not feel like I'm going to get crushed by an automobile, but I can't. So we need to change that. So reframing that as an opportunity, we really need some protected bikeways downtown. We need to maybe redesign our streets entirely. We have these big old streets. We have 3 lanes plus parking. We could totally have bike infrastructure here. So that's my first priority in downtown. As for walkability, we need to make our sidewalks better. Like, if you're a person who needs sidewalks for walking or using a wheelchair or maybe pushing a baby stroller or something, like, you're going to hit all these cracks or the sidewalks are just going to end. And we need to fix that. And we especially need to look at our lower income areas of the city that have been historically disinvested in, and look into how we can improve the sidewalks, improve bike infrastructure, even add sidewalks because there are places without them, and fill those dang potholes. They're really hard to bike over. Sometimes I've had everything fly out of my bike basket because I hit a pothole, and like, that totally discourages people from even wanting to bike around here.
Definitely. So on your point about sidewalks, in cities and urbanized areas, streets and sidewalks account for 80% of public spaces. And so definitely as a community, we can look at trying to take some of that area back from cars.
Yeah.
So Bryce, what is the relationship between vehicle size and pedestrian safety? Because I know you've done some good research on this and have done some really good advocacy work on it. So I'd like you to share with our listeners what you've learned about that.
Sure. Vehicle size is, let's say, positively correlated to pedestrian deaths. In the past decade, we've seen this huge increase in pedestrian deaths, despite the fact that people have gotten more into biking and walking places, and we've been adding better infrastructure. Cars have gotten a lot bigger and a lot more powerful, so people are no match for the 2-ton death machines that are, say, 4 feet tall at the front end. I think it's overhyping it to say I've done research on this. I've read some books. But yeah, in the book Right of Way by Angie Schmidt, she has this picture, and there's various versions of it around the internet where basically there's a child in front of like an F-150, and these trucks are so tall on the front end that like you wouldn't even be able to see a child that's like 10 years old if it's standing in front of the truck. And even if you're a person my height, 5'6", you would probably get like pushed under the truck if you get hit by it, instead of say a sedan where you might it might hit you under the knee or something and you fall over the car. So there's just a lot higher risk of death and serious injury if you do get hit by one of these cars, plus the lack of visibility.
Definitely. And so on a similar note, what is the relationship between vehicle speed and pedestrian fatality?
Ooh, I should have looked up the specific numbers here to impress you all, but cars going faster are more likely to kill you is the summary there.
No way!
Like, you're going to need a lot more stopping distance if you see someone in the street if you're going fast, and just being impacted at a higher speed is going to lead to some serious problems.
I remember hearing something along the lines in one of my planning classes. It's something about like 40 miles per hour. Once you reach over 40 miles per hour, it's way high fatalities. And we looked, Jared and I looked at Esplanade and it being a little closer to 40 miles per hour. But on a different note, tell us about your work for Caltrans, the division of rail and mass transit, as well as tell us a little bit about your passion for trains.
Cool, thanks for asking. So yeah, I work for Caltrans Division of Rail and Mass Transportation, and we work on some of the coolest stuff in the state, not to brag. We work on intercity rail, such as planning for better service on the Capital Corridor, San Joaquin's, Surfliner, things like that. And intercity bus. So intercity bus meaning like if there was that theoretical bus from Chico to Sacramento that
BCAD
talks
about. Can you get that for us, Bryce, please?
I sort of am working on it, not entirely. I'm working on that as well as the BCAG rail study and some other studies around the state. So I'm doing a lot of the service planning, which involves like meeting with the agencies and making sure that we're creating services led by the markets that they would serve and based on a statewide framework. And one of the cool things that I'm doing is the California Intercity Bus Study, which is studying opportunities for intercity bus throughout California, setting like a policy framework of where ideally people would be able to take buses between cities and regions. And then from there, we can look at how we might fund that and what agencies might want to run those buses and things like that. So I'm doing a pretty high level. I don't know that any of these bus projects I've ever worked on, that I've been able to set foot on one of those buses yet, but someday, that's my dream.
Hey, soon enough.
Oh, and my passion for trains? Trains are awesome. They get us places. They go choo-choo. I don't know. I don't have too much to say on that.
Yeah, it's incredible looking at the high-speed rail across the world and how other countries have developed really, like, you know, state-of-the-art systems to convey people from place to place that is a lot faster than driving, in some cases even faster than flying. And it's just much more efficient and much more sustainable, less energy required to move people around and move people around quickly, too. And
yeah.
So it's really appalling in this country how train is just such... It is an option. You know, I take the train when I can. But it's just a slow option more often than not.
I do have a thing to add there. Yeah. It's a policy failure that it would be way faster and easier and cheaper for me to take a flight to LA to go to a conference or whatever than it would be for me to take a train right now. And climate change. I got into trains because I was studying climate change and was learning about high-speed rail and, like, reading about Japan and how awesome it is and how that's what we could do here. And this was 10 years ago, and I was like, wow, it's so terrible that I have to wait until, like 2020 to be able to take high-speed rail. So anyway, someday we'll
Quite
get there. We'll have high-speed rail in California.
That's right. Slowly but surely. So, Bryce, what are some ways you can envision Chico improving our public transit system?
More frequency, more routes, especially more frequency, especially like in the core of the community and on major corridors. I've lived near Park Avenue the whole time I've been in Chico, which is actually one of the higher quality transit routes. There's usually a bus maybe every half an hour or so, but then they stop running after like 7 p.m. or whatever, or they're not frequent enough, so I still feel like I need to drive to get groceries and all that. So overall, it's a chicken and egg problem, because when you talk about wanting to increase frequency and add more buses, people say, well, not enough people ride these buses. So then no one else is going to ride the bus if the bus isn't frequent enough. So I think really the way that we need to make transit better first is to improve the way that we plan our city. And that includes more transit-oriented development. I do like that we have the corridor opportunity site overlay, which allows denser housing next to major corridors, and I think we should expand that and allow more dense housing along corridors so that more people will live there. More people might feel that they don't need a car, and then those people will take the bus, and then more people taking the bus leads to better funding of the buses.
Definitely. I mean, one thing to think about with Park Avenue and having more higher density, it would be great to have Park Avenue be mostly either active transportation or public transit. It would be great to reduce the amount of cars on the road. Thinking about environmental justice issues with asthma and higher asthma rates. I'm going on a little bit of a tangent, but Bryce, for Chico's active transportation plan, what input would you have or have you provided? And lastly, how can people plug in?
Right, thanks. So some of the feedback that I've given involves safer downtown streets, of course. Like I told you earlier, I really want to see us redesign these wide streets to accommodate bikes. We have some pedestrian accommodation, but I think we could even have some wider sidewalks. I want to see safer intersections. I want to see the whole 32 corridor redesigned, and that's something that Chico Safe Streets Coalition, a local group that I'm involved in, was pushing for, and I'll get to that in a second. And then safer streets are really necessary up on like East Ave and a lot of areas where there's, say, commercial areas all around, apartments, people live there, but it's just kind of an afterthought in a lot of our planning processes because those areas have historically been so automobile oriented. And East Ave really comes to mind because I have never felt so unsafe biking as I did trying to cross the under 99 on East Ave. I was going like between Thrifty Bargain and Goodwill. And there's just no infrastructure. You just like can't do it unless you go in the car lane and it's at a freeway interchange. So people are going a billion miles an hour. So areas like that I'm not as familiar with, but it stuck out to me. And I hope that other folks who are listening who maybe bike around the areas of town that are outside of my bubble will go to that, what is it, chicoatp.org or something.
Chicoatp.com.
Yeah, or search Chico Active Transportation Plan, and that you will provide that feedback in their survey. Tell the city, I want good active transportation infrastructure here, and hopefully the city will listen to us. I won't get into my cynicism about active transportation planning. That's what I used to do for a job, and I've yet to see most of those things implemented. Anyway, good thoughts only. People should take that survey. And you should go on Facebook, follow some groups like Chico Velo, Chico Safe Streets Coalition, Butte Environmental Council, and all these great groups will post the good stuff about opportunities to participate, forums, bike rides, cool stuff. Vote for good local elected officials like Addison Winslow. What's that website? Okay, addisonforchico.org. His platform includes safe streets and housing for all. So vote him into office so we can get some better funding for our infrastructure, please.
All right, Bryce, thank you so much for being on Ecotopia with us tonight. A reminder to our listeners, only 3 more days to submit input on Chico's active transportation plan. And you can do so by going to chicoatp.com. where there's a basic survey for you to complete, as well as an interactive map for you to provide specific feedback or give a thumbs up or comment on someone else's feedback that you agree with.
Stay tuned after Ecotopia for North State Give and Take with Bobby Tryon, who will be speaking with Heather Tovey and Siobhan O'Neill about Butte County Library Literacy Services. You've been listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1, Chico, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological.
Be sure to visit our website for notes and recordings of recent programs, plus an ever-growing list of resources provided by Ecotopia guests. The web address is ecotopiakzfr.com. We also welcome your comments and suggestions via email. So go ahead and send the actual host of Ecotopia, Susan and Stephen Chudy, an email at ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com for any comments or suggestions. Thank you so much for listening. Up next, we have North State Give and Take, where Bobby Tryon will be speaking with Heather Tovey and Siobhan O'Neill about Butte County Library Literary Services. And just a friendly reminder, Butte County Library has an awesome air-conditioned space. All of the different Butte County libraries around the county have air-conditioned space for you to use a computer, look for books, read, relax, work on some work, whatever you please. Go ahead and support your local libraries. And so we're going to wrap it up with a song written by Phil Oakes. It's called That's What I Want to Hear. And I'll briefly explain why I find the song meaningful. And so he basically, the song, as you'll hear, he's talking about how he doesn't want to hear people complaining about these problems but not wanting to find solutions. And when you come up to Phil and tell him that you want to work to solve a problem, he says, that's what I want to hear. So we're going to go ahead and play that song.
Oh, you tell me that your last good dollar is gone, and you say that your pockets are bare. And you tell me that your clothes are tattered and torn, and nobody seems to care. Now don't tell me your troubles, no, I don't have the time to spare. But if you want to get together and fight, good buddy, that's what I want to hear. And you tell me that your job was taken away by a big old greasy machine. And you tell me that you don't collect no more pay, and your belly is growing lean. Now if I had the jobs to give, you know I'd give them all away. But don't waste your breath calling out my name if you don't have nothing to say. And you tell me that you don't have nothing to do, and you keep on wasting your time. And you say when you want to get your family some food, you gotta stand in a relief line. Now it's a sin and a bloody shame about the way they're pushing you around. But when you decide not to take no more, you know I'll put my money down. 'Cause I I've seen your kind many times before, and I'll see you many times again. Oh, but every bad thing that's happened to you has happened to better men. So don't explain that you've lost your way, that you've got no place to go. You've got a hand and a voice, and you're not alone, brother. That's all you need to know. And if you're still wondering what I'm trying to say, let me tell you what it's all about. Now nobody listens to a single man when he's walking round, out and out. So if you're looking for an answer, he's standing there by your side. And you'll never really know how far you'll go till you join together and try. So you tell me that your last good dollar is gone, and you say that your pockets are bare. And you tell me that your clothes are tattered and torn, and nobody seems to care. Now don't tell me your troubles, no, I don't have the time to spare. But if you want to get together and fight, good buddy, that's what I want to hear.
Up next is North State Give and Take, and it's made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothes and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years and is located at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling the Cotton Party at 893-4923 and by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling them at 898-9525. Today on North State Give and Take, I am going to interview Heather Tovey and Siobhan O'Neill.